You're listening to Around Comics, episode 189. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comics and comics culture. Are you okay?
No.
You shouldn't eat sick. Shouldn't eat the double cheeseburgers, man. With the ghost
ship. Oh.
I don't know. I got a stomach problem right now. I'm hurting.
You might hear the first live on-air vomiting.
No, I don't think I'm going to vomit.
You shoot your pants.
I might shoot my pants. You might hear me run to the bathroom.
Either way, you're sitting next to me, and this isn't good. Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. Drop on by, say howdy. And this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. We're waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. And right now, InStockTrades.com is offering our Book of the Month selection, the Starman Omnibus Volume 1, for an amazing 37% off the cover price. At last, the hit series created by James Robinson and Tony Harris is collected in a series of six spectacular hardcover editions. This inaugural volume features a new cover by Harris and collects Starman issues 0 through 16.
Will be collected in 6.
It will be, yes. They're looking ahead. Now. They're looking ahead.
They're really banking on the paperless society not coming true. Six volumes.
How often
six
are they coming out with those? What, about every 6-8 weeks or something?
No, the next one doesn't come out till next year.
Son of a bitch.
What? Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
What? Is this going to be like a
no,
4-year...
No, then it picks up pay. Then it picks up piss. What? Calm down, Jesus.
Okay. I'm liking the book. I want the next one.
He has to read it now.
Listen in a couple of weeks.
I want it now. I want 80 issues now.
Well, they already made them.
Listen in on
them together.
On July 7th will be our Book of the Month episode.
Slap that egg.
And we're gonna have Matt Kramer, who does the Shades Journal podcast, who's also been a poster on our forum for a long time.
Yes.
And Sean Whelan from Raging Bullets is going to sit in with
Which one is he?
Is the show going to
be
wait. No! 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 It will not! I was just about to say, this show shan't be longer than it usually is. I will leave after an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, what we're going to do is I'm going to bring him in hungry, and we're going to go out for pizza and beer afterwards.
So he rushes through it? Okay.
So, yep.
Good idea.
We're not going to let him eat until after
Don't
we're done.
Talk about food.
I'm Christopher Naisman, and let me get you introduced to this cast McDonald's. Of characters. Mr. Brian Salazar, how you doing?
Sally McShitpants over here.
This could be a short episode for you.
Oh, I'll get through
tough
it somehow.
He's got a lot to say.
I got shit to say. It's going to be angry, though, whether I like it or not.
Mr. Tom Caters, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I am also almost about ready to shit my pants.
It's going to be run to the bathroom.
For a totally different reason, though. That I won't go into.
And Mr. Mike Norton, how are you, sir?
Trapped between a pit bull and a...
Oh, shit.
And a sick Brian Salazar.
Neither one is good.
I had your mic turned off.
Why?
Oh, well, that's just
I was giving you the centrist treatment.
No, that's fine. The world's better off.
Side.
Maybe I'm passing a kidney stone.
No, that's terrible.
On air.
On air. Record it.
I think I'm going to donate it on eBay. I'm going to sell it on eBay and donate the proceeds to Gene Colan.
Get it out to the fans.
Can you do that with, like, was that technically a body part? Because you can't do body parts on
it's
on from your body.
I don't know.
I've been selling jars of piss for years.
Yours or other people's?
Mine.
There's a big collector community out
the
there.
The one I sold the most for was a mix of mine and Michael Jordan's. 80% Michael Jordan, 20% me.
I hear you. That gives you special powers.
Yeah. If you drink it, you... That's are like a fantastic basketball player, but you lack any ambition to do anything about it. And you're snarky. You make a lot of sarcastic remarks to your fellow teammates.
But you're good at math.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you have a calculator.
couple guys. This
enough
is
about the urine mixes.
Yeah. Let's get on with something.
This is just kind of our free our free
I got
Roman
a jar of Jack
episode.
Kirby Stan Lee 50-50 at home.
You should do it in those like those split yeah. cups from like.
I hear it's really actually. I hear it's actually I hear it's actually really 90% Jack Kirby. Chris is laughing like he doesn't isn't hoping to angle his way into some Greg Rucka urine. That's the next collectible. Next big collectible.
Oh my God.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That was fun.
We're geniuses thrown around.
We'll be back next week with a full-length episode.
That was goddamn brilliant. One of the nights we're going to do it.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. That was worth coming up here.
All right, I'm with
what
the show.
Sans urine.
Well, Sal, I know that you had something that you wanted to talk about a little bit tonight.
Jack Kirby urine. No.
What did I want to talk about
prior to?
We're
going to
talk a little Invincible.
Oh yeah. The 50th issue came out, and
oh wait a minute, are you going to spoil it at all?
No, not at all.
No, because I'm like 13 issues
gonna,
back.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
He's way behind.
Really,
yeah, I only do the hardcovers, just like Walking Dead.
He only does the absolute version, so he's only up to like 24.
I read the 50th issue and I had caught up on it of late and. And it was just one of those series that we really haven't talked about much in the show. I mean, in the couple of years that we've
I think I picked issue 34
as a top of the stack. Yeah,
But I've really enjoyed that book a lot, and it's just you know, it is what it is. It doesn't try and be anything that other than just a good superhero comic book.
Yeah. Except for that fisting issue.
Well, you know, there
oh,
is that
spoiler. Sorry, asshole. Yeah, sorry. Doesn't it?
But I just kind of wanted to mention it and say that I've really enjoyed the universe that he's sort of built, him and Kirkman and now Jay Faber, you know, that Image universe that they're kind of building. And between the two of them, they've done just a really good job of you know, building those characters up and continuing those stories and now sort of intertwining them here and there.
Well, I think it's cool that it got to 50 issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that The Walking Dead's going to get to 50, and those books are going to go.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Reading it, those things are like the only. I mean, really, other than a few things here and there, maybe like a Hellboy and stuff like that. Mm. I mean, really long lasting, and there's no foreseeable end to them. I mean,
it's weird to me. Is it me? But it almost feels like when you guys said 50 issues, I felt like it feels like they've been around longer than that even. You know, and that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, I
there's not
agree.
A lot of independent books that get to 50 issues.
There aren't any, really.
Yeah.
Not in the past 20-something years, no. Yeah. I mean, I don't think since, like, first comics did they have something go up to 50.
I mean, even look
at, so
like,
you're talking like,
you know, Love and Rockets
Nexus
has been
and American Flag days when that could happen.
Savage Days. Yeah. What's Savage Dragon at now?
Well, Savage Dragon's at, like, 120... Fate or something like that.
Well, that's, you know, speaking of Savage Dragon, that's one of the kind of interesting things about Invincible is that a lot of people refer to that as the Invincible universe now. It's certainly the centerpiece and the flagship of that whole world that Kirkman is very much the central, you know, person that's writing that. But that's all kind of built on Savage Dragon. I mean, that's the world that Larson set up.
Yeah. Larson kept Image alive.
He kind of established this sort of mentality of, you know, it's okay to act like you're 12 years old again and make all these heroes that you came up with and just do the dumbest thing you can think of, you know? Sure, why not? It's a comic book.
Mm-hmm. Who's it hurting? Who's it hurting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Throw a bag of trash,
yeah,
you know, and then 4 issues later have that bag of trash land in Paris.
Yeah,
you
it's know, like Savage Dragon is totally everything that he had, I mean, literally stuff that he had from when he was a kid, And just like, oh, I'm going to just make a comic book out of this. Yippee. And there's something really refreshing about that. And Invincible's the exact same thing.
Dynamo 5, yeah. Noble Cause, they all sort of have that sense of...
Noble Cause is almost, it has a, like, I don't want to call it sophistication, like, there's a level to yeah. it that he's, like, putting a twist on.
I still think, what I enjoy about those books, though, that's really cool is, it reminds me of older comic books where you could tell a story about a big universe and you didn't need 25 books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Invincible has a ton of characters that comes, but you don't need...
It's early Marvel.
You don't need seven Invincible books to tell the story of what goes on.
It's mid-60s Marvel.
Yeah.
If you think... I mean, it's really similar to
And that's sort of was my point of bringing it up.
So it's nice to see... Do you think Kirkman Piss is going to be worth something? Or?
Probably already is.
Probably,
It's got to be the Ryan Ottley mix.
It's sort of like you're seeing the development or the birth of not only just, you know, these books, but Image is becoming or has become a, like, real publisher as opposed to, not that they weren't a real, but you know what I mean? It's like all the stuff that they had done, it was always sort of like miniseries and creator-owned stuff, and it was more almost like an imprint thing where it was like...
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
I mean, that's all it is, but now that they have books that are... their own established
They've developed a continuity.
Yeah, they've developed continuity. They've developed these characters and this universe that stands on its own, that mm-hmm. isn't, you know, I mean, like you said, it, you know, Walking Dead and Invincible and Dynamo 5, I mean, those books can go on for an extremely long time as long as people are still interested in them. There's no reason they can't. But it's just sort of nice to see that development in the last few years of these new characters. And I think that's why I enjoy him so much, is reading, like, Noble Causes and Dynamo 5 and Invincible and
Astounding Wolfman.
You have no idea. Anything can happen. You know what I mean? It's like anything can happen to these characters. You're not seeing the same old thing because they haven't been around for 50 years. So it's like you can really actually be surprised by the books. Which is just enjoyable to read, and they're very well done. And speaking of Ryan Ottley, I did want to say, seeing his art mature throughout that book, Invincible, has just been amazing. And the last probably, I don't know, 15, 20 issues of that thing has just been awesome. I mean, he's really just become a fantastic artist. Not that he wasn't good before, but
he was one
in Seattle.
Right now,
in that book is
he was one of the biggest draws.
Yeah,
he's a huge draw, and it's well deserved. I mean, he was good. He's one of those guys, when you saw the early stuff, you knew, yeah, this guy obviously isn't small press. He should be doing something.
Yeah. Well,
and,
yeah.
And so he turns out to, like, where he's making his living off in this great book. I mean, people are going to recognize him
mm-hmm.
as the Invincible guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which is pretty awesome, you know, because other than making your living drawing comics, having your name, like, synonymous with, like, an icon.
Right.
That's probably the next thing you want.
Yeah,
you're
20
like,
years from now,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And so that's really cool. And he is just amazing. I mean, I've looked at his pencils and just, like, just pretty amazing. Just
yeah.
the stuff that's in there.
Oh, that's right.
Like I said, I've been absolutely blown away by... I just recently caught up on Invincible, and
See the Captain America commission that that Mark got? What was that, last year at Wizard World?
Yep.
He got a full color Captain America commission.
It was last year.
Yeah, it was. One of the things I really enjoy about the whole Invincible universe and what they've established is that they have a flagship title for basically a continuity of books, and so you get something like Firebirds or Dynamo 5, and now a book that would normally be just kind of like floating out on an island, you can now tie it into something else. You can put Invincible on the cover, and Invincible fans are going to buy that book.
Well,
I
think it's also important to note the fact that they kind of share a universe, yet they could be separated and it wouldn't take away from either one of the books. But, I mean, it's loose.
That's one of the nice things about it, too, is that once going back to, like, anything can happen. I mean, you read Noble Causes, and it's like there's no rules there necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, anything can happen in that book because that's just what they've established. Like, anything is possible. You know, there's Doc Noble is, you know, able to do just about anything he wants if he puts his mind to it. And so while there is that shared universe, it's so wide open and so fresh that you can
There's a multiverse.
Go anywhere. Yeah. Shit.
You can go anywhere you want.
But, you know, I'm sure 50 years from now there'll be comic book fans bitching because the continuity is all screwed up.
Invincible's continuity is...
But for now, it's enjoyable. And like I said, I mean, you know, I don't want to sit here and like, say, you know, it's the greatest book in the world or anything like that. I mean, it's really enjoyable and very
fun. It is.
No, it's possibly the greatest superhero comic book in the universe, according to the covers.
It has its slow moments. Yeah. It has its highlights. But I mean, it's solid. It's very solid.
The art's fantastic. And it's just damn fun, really. I mean,
I'm thoroughly entertained every time I read. And I only read the hardcovers of that, Walking Dead. But they're the only books that if people talk about, I'll say, don't say anything. I want to be surprised, Mom. Because chances are you will be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that you can't say that about. I won't ruin anything of The Walking
Dead for you. What?
I won't ruin anything of The Walking
You know what? People already have. I mean, I'll watch G4 and they ruin it. You know? They talk
frustrating.
They talk about Robert Kirkman all the time on that channel.
Do they?
Really? Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Oh, good for him. Mm-hmm. He writes good comics. I like him. He's kind of short, but...
And
he's got a beard.
And he's a biter.
He's actually taller than you'd think. I always think of him as shorter than he actually is. He's almost...
Yeah, I guess he's not.
He's like 6 feet.
No.
Yeah.
I was standing next to him in Seattle. He wasn't that tall.
Is he not taller than you?
I don't think so.
I'd like to see that. I think he's pretty tall.
The Kirkman height challenge.
I know,
Kirkman,
really?
I challenge you
that would be awesome.
For charity. I will
height
wrestle
match.
You at... Is he going to be in Chicago? Is he coming to Wizard World?
I don't know.
I'll wrestle him.
All the image creators.
Because I always think he's like average height, but then I see him again, and I'm just like, oh, you're always taller
than I think
you are.
Maybe he is.
Did you guys see that the...
You confuse it because he's almost as wide.
Yeah, he is square.
Did you guys see that the image founders are all going to be in Chicago?
Yeah, six of the original seven.
Are they?
Six, yeah.
Who's the seventh? I couldn't think of the seventh.
Silvestri?
Pete Best.
Pete Best is the seventh.
Jesus,
poor guy.
Jesus' short-lived book.
It's gonna be Lee.
Cross-squad.
Wait, is Jim Lee gonna be
here? Will Sportacio.
Will Sportacio.
He'll be here.
He's gonna be at Chicago.
Yeah, maybe it's Jim Lee
because he's taking over Spawn. That's the big announcement.
So Jim Lee is Jim Lee gonna be there?
I don't think Lee's gonna be.
That's it. It's Jim Lee.
Jim Lee. Jim Lee's not gonna be at Chicago.
Yeah,
I don't know. Who cares? Those guys are has-beens. I don't know.
Oh, Valentino's going to be here.
Oh, Valentino.
Yeah.
He's the seventh.
Well, that was the... I've heard stories of that whenever the first, like, Image, the first summer of Image, that they kind of had their big debut at the Chicago show. And that was the one where they actually set up a tent outside of the convention center for signings that went until, like, 3 a.m.
Wow.
It's like... thousands of people waiting, and the Image people, they had them outside of the convention center in like this big tent. I've heard like it's in lore now.
So much money.
You know, I remember I kind of stopped collecting around that time, and I was,
you, me, and several million other people.
Well, yeah, a lot of people, and I think a lot of people our age did.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going back, and I recently just organized all my comics. I have number ones of all of those Image books.
You, me, and millions of
But I was just like, I don't remember buying these. I know I didn't read them.
You did it out of habit.
How much Valiant stuff you got locked away in there?
I have no Valiant.
No Valiant?
Yeah.
Really?
You know, I am so excited that the Valiant stuff is coming out in hardcovers now.
I'm looking forward to the Archer and Armstrong.
That's Barry Windsor Smith?
Yeah, Barry Windsor. That was why it was my favorite. Because he's... friggin' awesome.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
So are they setting up a tent at the Wizard World of Chicago this year for the Image guys?
Yeah, but it's a pup tent.
But for McFarlane, it's all going to be like hockey statues. Can I get my Mark McGuire statue?
I have that statue.
I know. Mark McGuire. He's ripped.
He's ripped.
He was.
False. Steroids and McFarlane.
He's juiced. Yeah, the big announcement of McFarlane and Portacio. Taking over Spawn. I don't... Was McFarlane ever really noted as a good writer? Really?
Well, I mean...
I mean, he was creative.
The early Spawn stuff was pretty cool. Actually.
Was it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Because this is the other thing. I mean, that Spawn, that issue one, I do remember it being the one that I did read.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I picked it up, I want to say like 80 issues later, and it hadn't progressed that much. It's like, is he still in an alley?
They were still counting down on the clock.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow. So,
did you ever watch the HBO?
I did watch
animated.
It
was good.
Was it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I wasn't too into it.
Is it? I always forget it's the guy with the two first names, David Keith or Keith David.
David Keith.
David Keith was the voice of Spawn.
He's the one that accelerates your life in the Navy.
Yeah. He does everything. But no, the HBO series was really good. I enjoyed it. It was very true to the comics. And yeah, the first... probably the first.
Well, I liked
10, 12
Spawn
issues
when it was coming out and everything. I mean, I don't know how many issues I have, but probably 50.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I just, looking back at it now, it's like, okay, McFarlane hasn't really been writing comics since then.
No.
And he's going to come back and write it. So is it just going to be what it was back then? I don't know that really flies.
You kind of progress past a certain. I mean, you have to be in a certain state of mind to enjoy certain. Obviously. Forms of entertainment. That's why certain things are popular, right?
Right.
I mean, I think I got my angsty yayas out with, like, Wolverine. You know? I think this is way back.
Well, what about...
So when Spawn comes around, I'm just like, you know what? I'm kind of over the...
Well, will younger readers, though?
Totally. That's why, I mean, most of your Spawn readers are younger guys.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, they're certainly younger than me.
Yeah. Mark. I'm just wondering. I just don't know. I mean, I don't...
How many issues of Spawn do you sell a month?
You really want to know?
Yeah, seriously.
About five?
And what's the demographic of the Spawn customer at Dark Tower Comics?
40 years old and still collecting Fathom.
That's
really
interesting.
Wow. Okay. There you go. 40
years
old.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how that book sells. Is Spawn a good seller still?
Spawn was the top selling Image title until recently when
Walking Dead
passed it.
Was it?
It was still selling like 19,000 issues.
Interesting.
It'd be
a canceled book. Yeah. Well, yeah.
What, at 19,000? Vertigo would be excited to have someone at 19,000.
Yeah. DC would cancel a book at 19,000.
Vertigo would be
very happy
if someone was selling 19,000.
But, you know, out of Spawn, we got, you know, Sam and Twitch, which was really kind of Bendis' first mainstream success was out of Spawn and those characters. Have you guys read the Sam and Twitch story?
I haven't read it. Like I said, I've only read that one issue of Spawn, and I think maybe the Dave Sim one.
Yeah.
Those are the only 11. Two issues of Spawn I own.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter for me. I mean, I'm not going to read it. I haven't read Spawn in years, so it doesn't, you know, I don't care that McFarlane. If maybe he was coming back to draw it, I might check it out.
Yeah, I'd be more excited.
I would be interested in that, too.
I'd be interested. I don't know if I'd be excited.
I like McFarlane's art.
I loved it.
I loved it back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know if I
But I would be excited to
see what he would do.
Yeah, like, because he's been out of...
Well, but that's what would worry me is, you know, it's like he's busy, you know, making millions of dollars selling
But
statues.
I kind of feel like sometimes I kind of feel like the reason, like, maybe why he doesn't is kind of like a Billy Mitchell kind of thing.
Right.
I don't want people to know that I can't make that high score anymore, you know, that kind of stuff, so...
No, and that's certainly... reasonable thing. Yeah. I mean,
why not?
It would be such a hugely hyped thing if he was to come back.
Right,
and expectations on it would be
exactly.
so big that it probably is why he hasn't. I mean, but I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it was crap. He'd sell a lot of comics.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, and he's got to know that.
Well,
so I mean,
like he needs more money.
obviously.
I mean, he'd sell a crap load of comics, but quite honestly, the money he'd make from it would be minuscule compared to what he makes.
And what's scary about it is that a lot of comics now compared to a lot of comics then. So a lot of comics then was like
millions.
4 million copies.
Yeah.
A lot of comics now is 100,000.
This was written for my apartment looks upside down from there. Water spirals the wrong way out the sink. And her voice is a backwards record. It's like a whirlpool and it never ends. And her anger and I are getting old and we still haven't walked in the glow of each other's majestic presence. Listen and hear my words to the ones you will.
Hey, we got a little listener email here.
What?
Yeah.
You guys have listeners?
Yeah.
A couple.
At least one.
Four. And actually, I had asked, I think a couple episodes ago, to send in listener emails. Because I'm tired of trying to find topic starters.
This is called easy content.
Yes, this is. Program our show.
I have more to talk about. Is familiar with right. This secret of email.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Hey, it's from Cammy. Cammy Knoxville.
Yeah.
It's from Cameron here. Hey, AC crew, although we all love to read our comics, I personally love seeing them become animated sometimes. My question is, what cartoons, comic-related or otherwise, have really hooked you over the past few years? And do you think that these shows will be big enough, a big enough jumping-on point for new readers? Thanks, Cammy. Mm. So if you have email, send them to info@aroundcomics.com or Chris Tom Marshall at aroundcomics.com.
Of all the animated things I've seen in the last couple of years, the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, that was the only answer I would have had.
Yeah, were the things that I could legitimately see hooking people into following more about the characters, because I thought they were the best written.
Yes.
Best written, best art, best animation.
Did you like them better than the Batman anime? I mean, this is all
Tim
universe.
I did like them better than that.
They almost were like a an evolution. It's like the Batman started out as like clearly this is a children's show, but it's got that edge to it. And then it's like, oh, we made inroads there. We can go a little further. We can go a little further. And then by the time you're getting to that last season where it was when they switched networks.
The Batman Superman hour.
Well, no, they switched networks and they changed the Batman costume to all black, and the Creeper was on that season.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I like that.
And no, that's what I'm saying. It got even better.
Yeah.
And then you get Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, and Justice League Unlimited is amazing.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
I think
I've got you up to what Batman animated series season 2.
I don't even think I'm that far. When
you look at the people that wrote those.
Yeah, yeah, you're getting Gail Simone and Warren Ellis,
Jeff
and
Johns are like writing.
Oh, Dwayne McDuffie did a bunch of those.
And adapting like Alan Moore stories. I mean, how can it not be good, you know?
Yeah. I love the first animated Batman animated season, but more so I don't know that that's really something to hook younger readers or
I think
people
in the Justice League. I think it's accessible.
It is accessible because I mean it's sort of like the comics you read when you were a kid, where it's just like because a lot of the episodes are told from the point of view. Like there's that Green Arrow episode where he's the new guy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you're getting it from this point of view of like, look at all of
this.
Right,
yeah. Right.
But you know that there's a history there, and then you're just like, if there's something, I want to know more about that.
Right. They did lots of stuff where they focused. There was the episode about Booster Gold.
Yeah,
and you would just focus on
it's like I've never heard of this guy before, but
could have like one focusing on this one character, and it made
they did
sense.
An episode dedicated to Hawk and Dove.
Sweet,
yep,
they sure did.
it was
the two kids from the Wonder Years too. That's what was so awesome about it.
Oh, was it really?
It was the two brothers from the Wonder Years doing the voice. It was Fred Savage and
the other
guy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep,
that's cool.
That show. I mean, the weird mix they had. I mean, and if you are a comic book fan watching that show, like every single thing on the screen is. You know, you'd see crazy, obscure characters walking around, like, in the background of the Justice League satellite. You know, you would see...
There's lots of continuity there that isn't in a lot of, you know, TV, for that matter, you know. It just... The voice talent was amazing.
Oh,
Because you've got Jeffrey Combs is the Question. Well, I mean, that's inspired.
The last season was... My favorite episode was the one where Luthor switches brains with the Flash.
Uh-huh.
They switch and that was my favorite because you have like, it's really cool to see voice actors.
Yeah, Michael Rosenbaum doing.
Just having to play. It's like the same fun that you would see in actors switching characters, but even better because you could see them doing it with voices like switching back and forth. So you have the character of Wally West. But with Luthor's voice leading the Legion of Doom, but he has no idea how to be a bad guy, and he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I say we tie him up.
Yeah,
that's it.
You're not going to wash your hands? I'm a bad guy.
Yeah. Walking out of the bathroom.
I'd say I don't honestly watched that much animation. So I've been slowly getting into more and more, other than like animated films, I watch more so. But probably The New Frontier was really something that I think
that was good. Certainly, that was good. But I mean, it was. Was so like the book that it was just like, how could it not be good?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But as far as something that maybe could get people interested.
And that definitely.
Yeah, be careful how young those people are, because it is PG-13.
Yeah, that's definitely not. I wouldn't call that a.
Well, was that the.
I think it's a great gateway animated feature for an older, you know, an older person who's
for Hank.
Yeah, for Hank. Yeah, and you know.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you're gonna show that to your 8-year-old.
Well,
I would in a second. Yeah. Because the kids these days.
Yeah, they're desensitized.
Kids these days, second base is anal.
Jesus.
I'm just saying, man. Oh, crazy these days.
You know,
they've seen a dude get shot in the head.
Silhouetted.
Yeah, silhouetted.
I just picked up the Fantastic Four box set, the first season of the new Fantastic Four.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw an episode of that. I did not like it.
I liked it. I got the first. It took me a couple episodes, and you want to talk about something that's maybe geared towards a little bit younger. You know, Johnny Storm definitely has an anime influence.
Oh,
the haircut.
Well, he's got this crazy speed racer sideburns and stuff like that.
So I think that was, you know, obviously focused towards the manga, anime, maybe crossover into comics. But, you know, once you get a couple, the first couple were once it picked up, they were good Fantastic Four stories. They were about fantastic things happening.
To four people.
And, yeah. And, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, it's like Reed invents something crazy and it gets them in trouble and they have to figure a way out of it. And you've got the classic.
Who had the titular line when they say, "This is fantastic that this happened to the four of us"? Fantastic Four.
I'll tell you something I did watch that was not good, and good animated. Spider-Man Unlimited.
Oh, I thought it was not.
I never saw that. That's the one with the crazy costume, right?
Yeah, the like bad mix of CGI.
Yeah, and I never saw that. The Bendis written one.
People talked about
produced.
It. Oh, are you talking about the
maybe
it's
on Unlimited?
The one for MTV.
Yeah.
The one that came out right after the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't hate that though. It was really badly animated.
Yeah, that was what I hated.
That
the
was
stories
really
were
okay.
The stories were pretty good, but. But the animation was just bizarre, and I didn't care for that one. And I think it only did one season. And
I like Neil Patrick Harris as the voice.
I like Neil Patrick Harris as the Flash in New Frontier.
Yeah, that's true, too.
He was,
yeah.
Well, I think the Spider-Man thing.
I like Neil Patrick Harris and Harold Kumar.
I think it illustrated that you should pick one animation style. It's traditional or CGI, and try not to mix. The two don't mix really well at all.
Not
CGI.
Not yet.
It's Starship Troopers, the CGI.
I never saw that.
And it was really, really good. And Beast Wars was...
Never saw that. You know, working at Devil's Due for as long as I did, I always heard about Beast Wars. And
it's
I just
really good.
Never saw it, you know?
It was outstanding, but it was CGI, and they didn't mix traditional
that's
animation.
Because they don't have the money to do truly good CGI animation in TV.
No,
you know, TV budgets.
Timely fashion.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, because you know,
there's some
film,
some Japanese stuff out there that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, the Japanese
hell, they're
stuff
putting it
really
in their actual live action movies.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just crazy.
I think that's been my biggest problem with a lot of animation stuff is just the art. You know, especially today, a lot of animated, they, you know, send it overseas, and it's just so rushed, and, you know. That's why I love that Batman anime, because
just
like
let Bruce Timm do it all.
Watch Justice League Unlimited.
I'm working my way there, but
you
I
really
started Batman
I've got them all, if you want.
Well, I've been getting them from him, because he's got them all, so I've been slowly getting my way through them, but it's just, you know.
No, I've got every season of Batman and Superman.
Oh, really?
Justice
so I'm working
League.
My way up from Batman
I only got the Unlimited, because I didn't even... Like just regular Justice League as much as I did Unlimited.
Oh,
no,
Unlimited was a step
Unlimited's
up,
where they just went balls out.
Yeah,
it was like we've got a year and a half to basically have fun with every character in the DC universe.
They didn't have a Blue Beetle, which I was very upset about.
Aww.
They never made an action figure, which is very bummed about it.
They had a booster episode, but no.
They had a booster episode, and it's just like, where's Beetle?
Where's Beetle?
Hey, the question.
Question's good enough. That's what I still don't know to this day why they didn't put Beetle in there.
Oh, you would have been perfect.
It would have been perfect.
I loved Skeets in that booster though. What's his name? The guy who does all the voices on. He does the voice of Fry on Futurama. Did the voice of Skeets. Billy West.
Yeah.
Great voice actor for cartoons.
Billy West
from Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, okay.
Did an awesome Skeets. Whenever I read Skeets in the Booster Gold series, now I think of Billy West's voice doing Skeets from the cartoon because it just makes so much sense.
Well, DC, certainly their slate of animated has been outstanding. Where Marvel's not as good in recent history, but you know, I still remember the Spider-Man and X-Men animated very fondly. I'd like to see Marvel kind of step it up and do better anime because they're movies.
Movies are picking up.
Yeah,
definitely.
Where I think they probably have a better track record with the movies than DC does at this point.
Oh, definitely.
You know, take away the Batman Begins and a couple other.
Haven't got shit.
Yeah.
Fucked. Stop making movies, DC.
Someday I'll see a Flash movie.
Maybe. You will. It'll be God's little present to you.
Yeah. Before you die.
Before I die, I'll see a Flash.
On your deathbed.
It was so
and
good.
And that'll be the ironic part of it, because you'll be there and you're just like, you won't know if it was a dream or if it was
a fever dream. Am I seeing a great Flash movie?
But you're going to die right before the ending.
It's like
you won't get to see the
I always thought you
Carl
make
Kersel
a,
in live action.
I always thought you could make a really good... I thought you could make a really interesting Justice Society movie if you really focused on World War II, like superheroes in World War II. I think visually, story-wise, I don't know how you would justify
it,
but visually,
I think when Watchmen comes out, that will be a big test of whether or not you can play with time periods.
Yeah, can we do the period piece and the genre at the same time?
That was the most exciting news I heard was whenever they said that Captain America, the first one, is going to be set in World War II.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Watchmen will be out before that.
Right,
so we'll see if it works. I'm sure they're going to be looking at that saying,
well, this doesn't work.
That's
going to be a little different, though, because it's going to be all flashback.
But still, I mean...
There's that comic book movie hasn't done that yet.
Regardless, I mean, you still got to...
Trying to think of anything that's...
I can't think of anything. I mean, Birds of Prey, the TV series, had flashbacks, but that was a whole weird, messed up thing that was stupid to begin with.
Yeah.
If you take that... And that's coming out on DVD, by the way.
There are people that like that show.
Oh. I watched a little bit of it.
I could watch that chick that plays the Huntress.
Oh, yeah. What's her face?
I'm thinking about, okay, should I go out and buy this series or not? Because I don't remember hating it.
Rent it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What about Hellboy?
The movie?
The animated.
No, the movie.
The flashbacks?
Either.
There was World War II somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But it's easier when you've... I don't know, when it's something...
I mean, it's very small.
There's something very, like, Indiana Jones to it, where it's just kind of
right.
I mean, it almost makes sense, because it's just like, we don't have anybody in a... Like, who was the superhero that was in the Hellboy?
Yeah. Lobster Johnson.
Lobster Johnson.
No, at the beginning, the Captain America type character.
Oh, with the gun.
Liberty?
Yeah. If he was in the movie, that would have been the test to see.
Yeah, true enough, because you didn't show...
Yeah.
Well, but you did have the crazy looking Nazis, and you did have the
these guys were everywhere.
What's his name? What's his name? Rasputin. Thank you, Hank.
I understand what you're saying.
You gotta
it's
have
be a
like
dude
a,
in a costume,
and not that Hellboy was incredibly successful.
How is a
anyway,
guy in a costume? You know, like how is like.
A dude in a costume,
How is that going to...
Well, that was even the thing, like, that Watchmen movie, seeing that still that they released
I am...
That was kind of weird looking,
When I first heard about it, I was just thinking, how is it possible?
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible to make a movie about this book?
Like it would be impossible.
The more I see about it, the more excited I get about it, especially since...
Green Bay's second favorite son to me, Zack Snyder.
Exactly. That was the number one thing. I just reread Watchmen.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
The first time since I was 13.
Did it hold up?
It's amazing. It's the best comic book ever written. I'll say that right now. It's the best comic book that's ever written.
It's pretty awesome.
And that's a lot to frickin' live up to if you're making a movie.
But I think they've done a cool thing. I think they've... picking a certain thing to focus on, because they're not going to have the pirate thing is going to be a separate thing.
DVD, but which is kind of cool.
But if he's splitting it up into different things, he is doing everything.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Go for it all.
Well, obviously, you'd have to be insane to take the project on in the first place.
Yeah, go for it all.
Balls. Yeah, the Black Freighter storyline in the book is going to be. It's not going to be in the film. It may be hinted to some degree. But that whole storyline is going to be an animated...
Is what they're saying.
And it's going to be released
on... But you could make the movie without that part. I was, as I was reading it, it was just like, but this is just, because it's just an analogy to Adrian Veidt anyway.
Right.
It's an analogy to all the characters in a weird way. Like, there's little bits of all the characters in that.
But they're going to make that as an animated film and release it on DVD the same week the film comes out. In theaters.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you'll be, if you want, you can.
It's going to be ambitious. We'll see how
very ambitious.
I'm
nervous about it.
Before, where I had that kind of fanboy dread, now I'm more excited about it. Just because I've read the book and just realized the potential of this.
It's excited to think that maybe they can pull it off.
Yeah.
And it'll be.
I think you can get in the vicinity. It's just like if you can get on the same board, if you're throwing a dart and you can get on the same board.
Not necessarily a bullseye, but if it's good and it gets some of it, it'll be like, you can do this type of story.
I'm going to try and go into it and like just enjoy it for what it is and not. Because I'm the same way. It's just like, man, they can't do it. There's no way to do it.
It really
is.
It's
impossible to do.
Well, I think
but
it's
what
impossible
can they
to
do?
Take,
you know, that's the thing. What can he do with
it's
it?
It's impossible to take any piece of written fiction and translate it 100%.
Right.
Even something like Lord of the Rings. You take huge portions of that book because you have to. There's
very good point. And that's why you have... 13 hours of Lord of the Rings.
You have to take something out. There's no way.
Poor Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, poor Tom
Bombadil. I just never be in a movie.
that's the Black Freighter right there.
Your extra DVD.
What's the next question?
That's
email?
The one I brought.
Email?
We have
just one email?
Jesus Christ. Well, then I shouldn't have said that.
One email. That's all you have for us.
Oh,
we need more.
Let me look through here.
Somebody sent us listener email. Multiple listener emails.
Email.
I was just bored about talking about it.
I got one from Trev.
Liar.
Well, I've kind of got to decipher this because he tells a little story which
Jesus.
I don't know if I'm going to go to.
Here we go.
Nice time. Basically, it says I was in my LCS recently and picked up some early issues of Gotham Central. My shop owner and I got talking about liking Brubaker's work when he. He laid the Prez on him, and he had never read the Prez before.
The Prez.
It's Brubaker. I have not read this.
Prez.
The Teenage old, President?
The old DC comic?
Yeah. Brubaker did...
what?
He did a one-shot of Prez.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he's talking about the original one.
Yeah, you're going to like this. What? You're going to like Prez.
So and Trev was freaked out that Brubaker did a one shot of Prez, and so his question after that blew his mind
too. That blew my mind just now.
So my question to the panel is: what other against type kinds of books can you remember that creators that might similarly blow your mind? Thanks, Trev from Austin.
Dr. 13 still blows my mind. That's the same writer.
That Azzarello,
the guy who writes 100 bullets, wrote Dr. 13. I can't.
It's like somebody slipped him happy pills.
Yeah, exactly. I can't. You know, because I love 100 bullets. Yeah, it's an amazing piece of work.
There are like references to stuff that is just like. Brian Azzarello never saw that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
he never read that comic book.
He doesn't
stuff. No way.
He doesn't read comics. You know,
funny and I that one just blows me away that he.
He doesn't know who Anthro is, but then you kind of think maybe he does know who Anthro
that's,
is.
Maybe that's why he's so angry all the time because
he does know who Anthro is.
Well, we were just talking about Alan Moore with.
Watchmen, and it was a listener, and I can't remember who it was, but sent the complete DR and Finch to me, which is some of Moore's early 2000 AD stuff. Alan Moore is really funny whenever he wants to write a funny comic. Yeah, he is.
Alan Moore can do anything.
He can do anything, which is really creepy. You should only really be good at one thing, because isn't that the rule?
Like, that should be the rule, damn it. Well,
you get to be good at.
You should be good at least one thing, because I haven't found one thing.
Yeah, like if you're good. Well, I'm sure. No, that's probably not true. But like, I mean, that's how you get good at one thing, is you only focus on the one thing. It's like, if you're good at everything, then you're probably a witch and we should burn you.
What do you do with witches? Burn!
Burn! Burn! Burn!
And what do you burn apart from witches?
For witches!
Good. So, why do witches burn?
Because they're made of wood.
Good.
Well, he is a wizard.
Alan Moore doesn't blow it.
Oh, he is a wizard. Oh, my God.
He's a fucking witch, dude.
Holy crap.
That's why.
I gotta go talk to my people.
You have to burn Alan Moore.
To your witch-burning people?
My witch-burning coalition. I am from the South.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Gotta get back to my Jesus camp.
We're going to pick Beatles records, all your Beatles
records.
We're
all standing outside of Stonehenge. It's like, bring out Alan Moore.
Alan Moore ain't writing no books that Jesus reads.
What else?
Dan Slott surprised me on the other side. From going from very serious to very funny, Dan Slott surprised me by how really good and really dramatic the initiative is. It really showed him flexing some very different muscles. I mean, sure, there's a couple funny moments in it, but it's like, wow, that's a Dan Slott book. That's pretty.
It's certainly not
pretty
a
freaking serious
Dan Slott book.
Yeah,
you know, or what we've known for him to do, most of his career.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been the funny stuff that he does really
well. I don't know. You get shades of like, I mean, obviously he excels at the humor, but I mean, even when you're reading She-Hulk, you get the sense that he knows how to write an action comic book. He's just focusing on the humor part of it.
Right.
Because that's the underpinning of that She-Hulk book. When it started, I didn't read it after I think Pelletier left. So.
But he certainly has become known as being a funny, humorous writer.
Yes,
That's his.
Because that's
his
the thing you remember. Story. He's so good at that part of it.
Well, I think that's what, I mean, that's the thing. You go from that to something like Initiative, and it's just such a different tone. But I mean, you know, good writers should be able to write pretty much any tone of story. It's just sometimes it shocks you a little bit when you're used to somebody doing something over and over again, and then all of a sudden, bam!
Specializations. Yeah.
I think this one's kind of a shot at somebody, but my earliest memory of being shocked by a writer was going from reading Chris Claremont's X-Men, which I loved, obviously, as pretty much everybody else has, to reading his first novel, which was
was that the one about the airplane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody says that. I never read it. Everybody says it's not good.
It was not good. It was a really awful novel. He's not a. That was
not a good
novel. No.
Very wordy. Was it a 10,000?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Maybe it should have been. I don't know. But that was probably my first memory of shock from a writer. Because I mean,
Have you read Crooked Little Vein yet?
No, I haven't. I have no interest.
Anybody? That's the.
No, I was actually in a bar last week, and somebody was at the bar reading it, and I thought that was really weird.
Was that Zarello?
No, it wasn't. No,
and tucked away in his bag was like an Anthro comic. Where he's like, this is what I really like. I like reading about apes.
I'm trying to think of anything
he's
else.
He's got the original Prez in
the
his
Azarello. That's the thing about the Azarello thing. It's like, Azarello's not someone that you would think would have like the Nazi ape, you know, like where does he know about that?
Written
like,
phonetically.
Yeah, like is this something in his mind that he's been thinking about with like all the jokes about, you know, like the architects? Yeah.
He just doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would get enough exposure to the outside world to write about some of the stuff. He seems like the kind of just like hold up in a small room with a typewriter.
I wouldn't think he's a guy who would know about all these really obscure
characters to like feel comfortable writing this really funny comic starring like the most obscure the kid who will answer any question for a dime.
Yeah.
You know, like this character you haven't seen.
I just he's just sitting there reading like Raymond Chandler and Ernest Hemingway punching out bears.
And then flips up in a DC encyclopedia and he's like, I'm gonna use that guy and that guy and that
he's at
guy.
He's really at home in his like, you know, Green Lantern pajamas.
You have a feeling that the Azrael gets up in the morning and he has to like shoot a bird with a pellet gun before he has breakfast. Yeah, you know, that's how he starts his
day.
But
he's secretly reading old Showcase issues. Yeah. Like.
I picked up a Showcase this week. Found the House of Mystery had come out.
Yes, the second volume.
Well, the new series, and I had never gotten the first Showcase, the volume one Showcase for House of Mystery. Out of print.
What?
And expensive if you try and get it at like the Amazon marketplace.
Really? What?
Yeah, people like $75.
Really? Don't do that. Get the second one. There's no continuity.
I found it on eBay for $12.
It's really cool because you see a bunch of different. You have so many different artists working.
I've heard good things about that new House of Mystery.
Oh, the new one's really good. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to read some of
the Showcase ones are awesome. You have your Alex Toth art. You have.
Nah, he's not
Filipino.
Good.
You're Filipino artist, yeah. You got
make me come over to
my
I slapped myself before you got over
you
here.
Slap yourself.
Sal just like perked up.
He's
like
what did you just say, Ben?
There's a Toth alarm.
But
the ghost of Alex Toth would punch me out.
You should have asked me, and I would have just.
Ryan has a Rillo may run in the
shade, materialize, and punch me in the face.
No, he would write you a letter convincing you to punch yourself in the face.
It's like, wow,
you're right.
Some strong writing.
No, so yeah, anyone who has the House of Mystery Volume 1 Showcase, you can go out there and make some cake.
I'm gonna sell mine when I. I'm not going to read it again. I read it once.
I mean,
it's more than enough.
I got a bunch of old Justice and Spitfire and the Troubleshooters if you want to buy those.
I'll get back to you.
I was reading a bunch of Tarzan issues that Joe Kubert had done.
Oh, nice.
That were awesome. And I was saying that I like his art better on newsprint than I do... On the
black and white.
Yeah. I like lots of things on newsprint pulpy. More than I like.
Yeah.
I was reading the well, I think you gave me the Sergeant Rock.
I also got that. And his art looks really awesome.
Oh, he's fucking amazing.
Some of those things I would actually keep just for that stuff, but I just don't. I don't have the room for
it.
You know?
It's a big book.
Yeah. And it's just like, when am I going to be sitting there on the couch going, I really need to look at some Joe Kubert.
But it's really
You never know, I know, but it's how much room do I have for that kind of luxury?
It's really funny reading Tor and then looking at Tarzan. It's the same style of storytelling that he used for Tarzan in like 1972.
It's hard to improve on perfection.
A book... What did he do? What art book did he do? Like, our comic, how to
Who's
write?
That?
Kubert.
Well, he started a school.
Well, no, I know that, but...
he runs a school, Sal.
I think it was that book.
Maybe that's what it was.
It was the brochure for the school.
Wasn't the How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way?
No. It might have been the funniest thing. Because I did actually buy the first... I bought a course from
Kubert. Well, you know what? I walked in... This is funny. I don't know if anybody at Devil's Due listens to this. I walked into Devil's Due like 2 years after I quit, and they had that sitting around.
The
package. No, like the Joe Kubert school package. And I was like, what the hell?
You're publishing
refresher already. Course here, Josh?
I was like, who needs this over here?
I bought it when I was like 18, I think. I don't know, maybe even younger than that. But it's funny. I always remember stuff that he had said in there, and... You look at his art, and it's like every issue he draws, it's exactly what he believes. I mean, it's exactly everything that he teaches is exactly what he's always done, and he really is a master.
Very useful. I mean, everything I've learned about storytelling, I learned from all of those old things. Yeah. I think How to Draw the Marvel Way got a lot of flack. For like, you know, don't use this as your only way of learning. But, I mean, there's obviously a lot of useful...
Good information, sure.
There's stuff in there that I use.
John Buscema speaks
the
truth.
Stuff to this day, I mean...
Well, I use. You know, Warren Ellis, I remember
I was on his forum once, and people were asking him about writing books.
Yeah.
You know, what books can I read to become a better comic book writer or whatever? And he said, all you need is the two books by, Jesus, I'm blanking. I can't think of his name now. The award is named after him.
Eisner.
Eisner, yeah, Will, thank you, Will Eisner. His two books, I can't think of those names of the books either.
The sequential art book?
Yeah, the sequential art.
Well, that's probably, you know what, that makes a lot of sense because, seriously, if you're a writer, the only thing that keeps you from writing a good comic book is probably getting it used to the format.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about that earlier. Where it's just like you see these novel writers, they get into, obviously, they know how to write a book.
Yeah.
Do they know how to write a comic book?
Right.
Yeah. Well, every chapter in a book isn't 22 pages.
Because then somebody came in there and said, well, it's so old, nobody, you know, comics aren't made that way, blah, blah, blah. And he said,
well, that's exactly why you need it.
But that's what he said. He said, but everything that's in there, all you have to do is take and disseminate it into your own, right? You know what I mean? It's everything you need is there.
Yes. You need to know the first rules before you can break them.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, you're just becoming a Xerox copy of a Xerox copy.
Right.
And, nope, I mean, nobody likes that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, you're a punk.
I'm a punk bitch.
No, there are different schools of thought. I mean, it's like, obviously, it's usually the younger generations that like the Xerox of the Xerox because that's what they were brought up on. And it's a lot easier to draw what you see on the cover of a comic book than to actually go back and see how a tree looks and draw a bush. Because that's boring.
Well, that's
I want to see... I want to draw Spider-Man jumping over a building the way
Captain
that
Adam
Mike Waringo drew.
Captain Adam
punching
a table for no reason.
Now, unless you know how to draw actually how a person looks jumping over something, you can't make it look the way that Mike Waringo did. Because the way Mike Waringo draws isn't the way that an actual person draws.
Right.
I mean, looks, you know?
It's his interpretation of it.
So that's why you get these copies of copies of copies, and people look more ridiculous and stuff like that.
Well, that was... you know, you can't learn anatomy by copying comic books. You can't learn your anatomy from a comic
thing.
Book.
It's the worst thing. At least you can get a building right, because unless it's like something out of Looney Tunes. I mean, most people are going to draw a box with windows.
Right.
You know.
But you have to. I mean, you have to know what, like you said, like what a tree really looks like before you can make it look like a tree.
Exactly.
Comic,
and that's why. I mean, if it's older, it's probably better.
You know, and I've noticed this in comics for a long time, and Tom has actually mentioned it many times on Tom versus JLA. Why can no one seem to draw dogs or rats?
Because they're very fucking hard.
Yeah.
Take it from somebody that's had to do both.
Rats and Tom.
Yeah.
seems
Tom is hard to draw.
whoever drew that issue where it wasn't Tuska, it wasn't Patton. It was Dylan. Dick Dylan couldn't... Oh, his dogs.
Dogs are really hard
like
to draw.
Giant
horses,
rats.
Dogs.
Horses are really...
John Byrne.
One of the things Terrible. That... one
yeah,
of the
his
things,
dogs look like aliens.
Buildings and cars?
Animals in general are hard to draw. That's why when you find somebody that puts a lot of animals in there, my immediate thought is... That person likes to draw animals. I mean, that person learned how to draw from drawing animals because that takes balls to do that. I mean, it's hard to draw. Dogs are hard to draw. Horses are ridiculous because they defy nature the way that they're built. I mean, they got backwards feet and stuff like that. And it's just really hard. A dog's eyes are just... That's the key.
Mike is like breaking out.
No, I'm serious.
I'm glad I got to the heart of this issue of why Dick Dylan, who
no,
was...
No, my first issue of Adam had horses and dogs in it, and I was like, what am I going to do? Because I'm not very good at drawing dogs.
I like
I'm
this touch because I was like, Dick Dylan, really good draftsman, not the flashiest artist, but had pretty good proportions
solid
and everything.
Skills.
And then they had an issue with dogs and rats, and I couldn't tell the difference. There was a point where I was like... Yeah. I can't tell the difference.
Rats are extremely hard. I drew a book called Closer, and one of the stars of the book was a rat.
Yeah.
And he was very hard to draw.
Closer was really good, by the way. You and Anthony
that was
Johnson.
All Liam
I'm really glad that I'm glad I get to get this insight into how hard. Because my thought was, why is he having, like, This looks, these animals.
No, unless you're, unless you're like really cartooning them,
yeah.
Because then you can exaggerate.
Right, right.
But if you're trying to make them realistic, I mean, there are only a few people that I look at are just like, wow. Like Carl Kerschel does great animals. He does. Yeah. I mean, he's done tons of stuff. He did that Flash stuff.
What doesn't Kerschel do well?
Obviously, but he does a web strip now.
Really?
Oh, he does. I forget the name of it, but it's about an abominable snowman.
Oh, that's right. I've seen that. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
got nothing but like lions and dogs and stuff.
Kerschel should just be drawing comics 24/7.
Yeah,
well, he should be drawing Flash comics for
yes.
me.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God, that was the best I'd ever seen.
That third issue was the best yeah. Yeah. Of that rather non-distinguished run.
Didn't we hear a story about like somebody that was going to draw Ghost Rider?
Mark Texiera.
Couldn't draw
just,
motorcycles yeah. or skeletons or something like that? Or
like maybe you should be drawing
That's hilarious just for the irony of it.
Something about not wanting to do
I can't draw motorcycles.
Yeah.
No, it was horses. He could,
horses are, I mean, horses in comics, hard, they're yeah, like, yeah. that's the...
That's
horses. It's kind of like a joke, actually.
It had something to do with the Western Ghost Rider. And...
Horses and cows. How did the Filipino guys get all that Jonah Hex stuff down so right?
They Filipino artists are really good.
They know what they eat.
They nailed those horses.
Oh, damn.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry to offend all our Filipino listeners out there.
Tom of the Kirby Lee P is offended now.
Well, you know. And children that do anal at second base. That's okay. I make a Filipino joke.
Guess what? I am the CNN of teenagers. Right? I'm just telling... You old fogies, what's up with the kids on the street?
You are the anal of.
Well, on that note,
cats are really hard too.
Cats
are hard.
When
ferrets?
Have you had a pug show up
I can
yet?
Draw a pug blindfolded now. Just because they are exaggerated. They look like something that somebody made up in their head anyway. It's
those
like,
aren't real.
Obviously, this should not exist on our planet.
Note to any writer who's working with Mike Norton, include lots of dogs and horses.
One of the funniest things I ever saw was an old horror anthology that Tim Seeley had something to do with this by Dead Dog Publishing out of Minnesota. And I think Steve Kurth, who did the first issues of G.I. Joe, did it. And it was about a vampire pug. And it was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen because it had these bulging eyes and the thirst for blood. It was awesome.
Right. No animals. Don't work with animals. Or kids.
Or children.
Children are hard to draw, too.
Well, I tell you what, what's up?
Hey, man, everything's hard to draw.
Let's go ahead and wrap things up. I do have a couple programming notes. This is our last episode before Wizard World Chicago.
Oh, my.
And so if you are coming out to the convention this weekend in Chicago, Friday at 2 o'clock we have our podcasting panel. Actually, Thursday... Before the convention, we're going to be here at Dark Tower talking about the Starman Omnibus. That episode will come out on Monday, July 7th. If you're not able to make it to Wizard World Chicago for the podcasting panel, don't worry. We're going to present that panel as an episode on the Monday following
it's
the convention.
It's called the Hugs Not Drugs.
Hugs Not Drugs. Podcasting panel. So so we will be putting that out as an episode.
Friday... 2 o'clock?
Friday, 2 o'clock, room to be determined. It'll be you and seven other podcasters.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
And and I had to get this right. I actually probably need to call up the email. It's from Sean McKeever is going to be the moderator.
McKeever?
But he wants to be introduced in a very specific way.
Yes. Papa Bear McKeever?
No.
He's got like a writer and stuff, I bet.
Sean.
It's going to be a roast.
That'd be awesome. Let me write something for you.
No, it's
Keever's doing it roast.
Sean
now.
Eisner win.
No,
award,
it's actually very.
He wears that around his neck like Flavor Flav. Now.
Hey, if I won an Eisner, I would legally change my name to include it somewhere.
911 is a joke in your town. Sean McKeever's not afraid to tell
you. Said,
about
he said. He said.
Two teenagers.
My middle name would be Eisner Award winner.
He said. Officially, I would like to be introduced as Eisner Award-winning, DC-exclusive, professional comic book writer Sean Kelly McKeever, Esquire.
Oh, I forgot about the Kelly. He's bringing back Kelly for 2008.
So, yeah,
SK McKeever.
SKM.
So Sean McKeever is going to be the moderator at the panel, so should be a lot of fun. So yeah, that's our
nobody's
going
to want to hear from us.
Nah,
McKeever on the
they're all asking him Teen Titans questions.
Exactly. Next question for the panel.
Yes, Mr. McKeever, Red Devil, is he going to be in the next?
That was very. Nerdy. Very offensive to our
it's
fans.
I'm getting prepped up for 11 o'clock comics. I gotta start getting drunk
get
and angry.
Do you do that tonight too?
No.
Holy crap.
I stay up all night. I record 9 podcasts.
Yeah, why do you think I'm so angry on 11 o'clock
Mike,
comics?
Would you like to be on my Dungeons and Dragons podcast in 1 hour?
That's Derek Coward.
Be there on time.
Oh, all right.
Rolling a 20.
Never thank the person who dropped the bottle of scotch off in Seattle. So whoever you were.
Oh, yeah,
you.
Scotch.
Someone, like,
where is that gave bottle?
No, but...
You know, my friend Matt Niedermeyer
you got the last two bottles.
Which one of you guys drinks scotch,
bottle.
Though?
Hey, you like scotch,
my friend Matt Niedermeyer still has that monkey statue.
Oh, really?
He emailed me.
Do you guys drink scotch?
He does.
He'll drink anything.
Yeah, well, obviously.
We want some bourbon. Bring the bourbon in.
Bring the bourbon in.
Got some lighter
fluid. You drink it already, you son of a bitch?
I'll bring some bourbon in.
No, not some bourbon. That bourbon. That bottle of bourbon.
What kind of bourbon
was it? It was given to all of us to provide the show.
Bring that bottle in.
I appreciate bourbon.
That bourbon is safe. Don't worry.
I'll bring it.
If anybody wants to send me some Telemordue, fucker.
send me some enchiladas.
Somebody send me some juice.
Thank you for
some cans of juice.
Thank you for everyone who has provided liquor to the show.
Bastard.
Braxton said a hell of a...
I have a bottle of absinthe sitting on the shelf that I haven't even touched.
What? What got
Polish,
sent that in?
No, our Polish listener from Poland brought it with
him. I will drink the shit out of that.
You want to drink that Wizard World?
Yeah.
Friday
don't you
night?
Have to do like a whole process with that?
Friday
like
night?
Sugar cubes?
I'll
sugar cubes?
I'll meet you out there Friday night. And
freeze
we'll
it
we'll
or something
absinthe.
Like that?
All right, Friday night at Wizard World, we're drinking absinthe.
Set yourself on
good.
Do I have to wear a black corset?
I just announced Grant Morrison is coming to Wizard World.
All right.
All right. Check out Tom on Tom versus the JLA. You can check out my other podcast with Vince B., David Price, and Wood. It's 11 o'clock comics. Listen to the Crankcast.
We're going to have
we're working on something.
We got something.
It's going to be good.
No.
Remember about Scotty Young on The Devil and Me. You can find all of those on iTunes.
Remember to buy the Tom Cater's brand of hot sauces.
Are you going for a video game championship soon?
I'm a little bit. I'm kind of the Billy Mitchell of comic book podcasts.
Thank you to everyone that left us iTunes.
It's a lovely USA tie you're wearing today.
Every day. TIE.
You notice? You notice what? You see
that?
You see a theme here?
TIE.
Finish up those Starman omnibuses so you can listen to our Book of the Month episode. I'd like to thank Mark here at Dark Tower Comics for letting us crash his Friday night once again.
He loves us.
Thank you to Sal, Tom, and Mike.
I also have a line of barbecue sauces.
Soon. 2009.
For
Christmas, maybe.
We'll be back next Monday with our podcasting panel
it's
from
not a barbecue
Chicago.
TKQ is there.
In the meantime.
I am going to have a line of green cleaning products very soon.
In between time.
And that's not a joke.
We'll be everywhere again.
That's real.
I am learning.
And around comics. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.